Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated.
Praise God. Well, you know, I wanted to just mention something. I started talking about it on Sunday a little bit, but the Lord wants me to talk a little bit more about this, just to, I'm not going to say too much, but, you know, when someone thinks about holiness pertaining to themselves, we kind of always had that thing, me, I'm not holy. I'm like, how many of you remember the Apostle Peter? Get away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinner. Amen. And so many people walk around with that kind of a mindset. And you know, God showed me something. I read something somewhere and He showed me something at the same time. And when you think of the patriarchs and the matriarchs of old, we tend to think of them as holy people. They lived holy, holy lives. And we could never attain to what they did because, I mean, we're talking Daniel, we're talking David, we're talking Abraham. There's no ways I can be what and do what they did. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on now, don't pretend you know what I'm talking about. You think, well, they on another level, on another playing field to what I am. But let me tell you something. That is a wrong thing to think. And this will set you free. This will really, it's setting me free more and more and more. Because when you look at those men and women of God, they did amazing things and they accomplished greatness for the kingdom. But they were not perfectly holy. Now you got might say, blasphemy. Only one person was perfectly holy. Jesus, right? He was the only perfectly holy person that ever walked the earth. But what the difference is, now watch here. With these people, Abraham, he sinned. He lied. You know what he did? He did a lot of things that he shouldn't have done. David, we know what he did. A lot of things he shouldn't have done. Samson, think of these guys. But they had moments of holiness. They had a moment of holiness in time, which then affected the world for all of eternity. The holiness that they had for that short period of time, whatever it was that they did, will always continue to produce results for the earth, in the world, and for all of eternity, and they will be rewarded. But you and I are exactly the same. We have moments of holiness. Here's what a moment of holiness is. A moment of holiness is when God tells you to do something, you do it. Come on. When God tells you, do something and you do it. When He tells you, don't get mad at that person, rather love them, and you do. You just had a holy moment. And God takes that more seriously than the money you put in the offering. Come on. We can have moments of holiness and be just like the patriarchs of old. In fact, we should have more because we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. He came on them. It's the same Holy Spirit. He came on them for that time. But some of them didn't obey immediately straight away. We saw Samson, but he eventually got back to having a moment of holiness. So we can make mistakes. We can fall by the wayside, but we pick ourselves back up and we hear God and we do it, whatever He tells us at that moment. Forgetting the things behind, Paul says, I press towards the calling, the mark of the high calling. You understand? So you are having moments of holiness. How many of you obeyed God sometime? It was a moment of holiness. So don't think that they were greater than us. They were not. The Bible says Elijah was a man with the exact same passions as you and me. Right? And yet he could command the rain not to come for 3 years, and then he could demand a commander to come. Amen. That's a moment of holiness. When you listen to God and you obey God, even when it's just taking care of something in your own personal life. When God says, I don't want you to watch that movie today, and you switch it off, you just had a holy moment. And God is a God of rewards. Some of you don't know that. But he's a God of rewards. Now listen, when I say he's a God of rewards, God's given us freedom of choice. Is that not so? I mean, I can choose to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, or I can reject him. My decision, he's not going to force me. One way, is that correct? I can choose to smack someone or not. I can choose to give offerings or not. I can choose out of my own life what I want to do. If there was no choice, and people say, God is sovereign. He is sovereign. We know he's sovereign. He's sovereign over his word. And when he gave us freedom of choice, he's sovereign over that. He will not take our freedom away. We have freedom to choose whatever we choose to do. So he's sovereign over his word, and his word says, my word will never return void. That's his word. He's sovereign over that. So when you take his word and you use his word the way he uses his word, his sovereignty will make sure that word comes to pass. He said it'll never return void. It will accomplish what I send it out for, and it will prosper in the thing where I please. Well, the same thing when I speak his word, it's him speaking through me the word, it will work. It will produce results. You've got to remember this stuff. Now, the thing about it is, if I had no choice, if God made me do things, then why? Then he couldn't have any reward system. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God, and those that come to him must believe that he's a rewarder. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a God of rewards. In fact, you're going to have the white judgment and the great judgment one day. And we're not going to be judged with the unsaved. We're going to be judged for rewards. You're saved. You're born again. You're under the blood of Jesus. You're going to be judged for rewards of the holy moments. Oh, come on now. The rewards are going to be for those holy moments you had. God's not going to say, well, look at you, you sinned there. No, he's like Paul, the apostle said, I forget those things and I press toward the mark. So, and now the good news about a holy moment is if you had one, you know you can do it. And that means I can have two the next day, or maybe four. And eventually I start seeing this for what it is. I can start walking and becoming more holy. Because listen, we are holy. God has sanctified us. The Bible says he made us righteous and he sanctified us, correct? 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ Jesus made unto us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, right? So I've been sanctified. That word means made holy. Means I've been set apart. Because nothing unholy is getting into heaven, right? So he makes me holy. My spirit is holy. My spirit is righteous. So I've already got that holiness in my spirit. That's a real me. But now my flesh has to catch up with my spirit man. Amen. So now when I have a holy moment, I'm actually operating according to my spirit man where the Holy Spirit resides. Come on, this is good for us. Amen. So I can have holy moments and I can start to look and sound more and more like Jesus. Because that's the end result that God desires for our lives. That we look like, we sound like, and we act like Jesus. And we cast demons out and we lay hands on the sick and we do all those things that he did. Amen. So you can have a holy moment or you can have a lot of holy moments. But I can promise you this, God rewards you, and that holy moment that you have will last for all of eternity. Do you know that God's got books? He's a better bookkeeper than anyone you know. He's a way better bookkeeper than anyone else you will ever find on the planet. And God's got books. Now, he's not keeping books on your bad. He's keeping books on the holiness that he's going to reward you for. He will never forget one good thing that you did to promote the kingdom or to obey what he asked you to do. And that's the God we have. So you've got choices. We have a choice. We can either do it or not. But when I do what he told me to do, then that's considered a holy moment. And God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on. So that's good news, right? So stop thinking of David as someone way above you. He's not. Stop thinking of Daniel way above you. You respect and you honor what they did, and you learn from what they did, and you try to emulate what they did. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, follow me as I fall apart. Remember, he said, I do the things I don't wish to do, and the things I wish to do, I don't do. Remember he said that? So don't follow David as he had a problem with Bathsheba. No. Don't follow David as he killed Uriah. No. Follow him as he followed Christ. God said to him, go take that country, go take that city, go take those people. And he went, holy moments. Follow the holy moments of people that you know. Come on. There are people today, living today in this church, have holy moments. We all have holy moments. Follow each other in your holy moments. Now you're following Christ. Don't follow me in my failures. Because if you follow me in my failures, you're going to be in some serious trouble. Amen. Because I'll make a few. We all are prone to making stupid things happen in our own lives. So let's have more holy moments. Just have a holy moment. I'm serious. When God gives you a word to speak or gives you a prophetic declaration and you hold back on it. How many times I held back in church when I first started going? And God wanted me to say something. God wanted me to lay hands on a sick person once. God wanted me to lay hands on a dead person once. And I didn't have a holy moment. I've had since, but that one time it's in my memory banks. I didn't do it. Because what about the people watching me? What happens if nothing happens? I don't know. No, I'm not holy enough. All that trash went through my spirit. You know? But also that stuff is God training us. See, He trains us. He trains us by the word and by the spirit. He doesn't train you by beating you over the head, taking your money, giving you sick. He doesn't do that. That's not our God. Our God trains us by the word and by the spirit. Amen. So I wanted to talk to us a little bit tonight about resting in God's grace. And so Luke 2, verse 40, listen to this. It'll come up for you. If you're quick, you can turn in your Bible. Luke 2, verse 40 out of the New King James. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and the grace of God. The grace of God was upon him. We're talking about Jesus. The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This verse here is saying that the grace of God was upon Jesus. Amen. Now, some people get a bit confused because the Bible says where sin does abound, what? Grace does much more abound. In fact, that's in Romans 5:20. The B portion of that verse, it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So when you put the two together, you may find yourself asking this question. If the grace of God was upon Jesus, does it mean that he sinned? Because where sin abounds, grace abounds more. So if the grace was on Jesus, does that mean Jesus sinned and he needed the grace? No, it does not. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the New Living Translation. For God made Christ who never sinned. Everyone say, he never sinned. God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin. Only a sinless person could have offered himself for our sin. And there was no one. There was absolutely nobody. Right through the Old Testament, right through the Old Covenant, until the New Covenant kicked in when Jesus came. Now we've got a substitute. Now we've got someone to go in your place. He's never sinned, never committed sin. And that's why we have the virgin birth. You do understand that. That is the reason for the virgin birth, because the virgin birth means that the blood didn't come from a man. The sperm didn't come from a man. It came from the Holy Spirit. So the blood that was in Christ, because the blood comes from the man, the blood that was in Christ was not from a human being, because if it was, it would have been tainted and it would have been with sin. Hence the virgin birth. And only Jesus is the only one who could do that. And so he came. He never sinned, but he came to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. I was made right with the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Ephesians 1:6 says we've been accepted through the Beloved. Amen. And so Hebrews 4:15 says this. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So, no, Jesus never sinned.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Good Country homestyle cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant. Your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and salad bar. Family owned and operated since 1991, Crossroads Restaurant is open 5:30 to 2:30.